discourse on baptism, we have our brother Frank Boychuk.
Thank you, Brother Gray. And dear brethren, it is indeed a wonderful privilege to be invited into the family of the new creation. Those who are willing to symbolize their consecration to the Heavenly Father, we'd like you to come forward and be seated in the front row of the chairs here. I presume the three sitting here will be candidates for the emergent service. Dear brethren, the baptism and immersion service of immersing our wills to the Heavenly Father is a wonderful privilege and right that our Lord showed us an example that all of us should follow if we gave our hearts to God. We've been invited to be members of that body, just as the Apostle Paul, writing to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and verse 12 to 14. He says, "For as the body is one, and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized, or immersed, into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles or Greek, as the diglot says, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." These words are very precious to us. They're very plain to those who are consecrated. They are beautiful to know that by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. This Spirit is the same Spirit that came upon the Lord Jesus at the River Jordan. And this Spirit came down over the body, members of the body of Christ throughout the gospel age. At this end of the age, it is upon the feet members of the body of Christ. We are the 11th hour virgins, which we appreciate very much because we still have that privilege and opportunity to be the members of that one body. The privilege that we have to coming together in an outward manifestation of our God and before the convention, before this group, to symbolize one's consecration, to make known what has taken place in our hearts, and we do it by water immersion. This one Spirit that came over the body since that time covers, it blesses, it sanctifies, it permeates, it immerses and anoints throughout the whole gospel age. And there is no need to pray for another or repeated baptism of the Holy Spirit, as the thought of some denomination is. We have a beautiful lesson given to us in the fifth volume on page 214, which brings to us full assurance of faith. It brings peace of God, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, all human understanding, in other words. Mankind know nothing about this peace that Jesus gave to his disciples, to his followers, that he spoke of. "My peace I leave with you," in John 14:27. "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." We know the world cannot give us any peace because there is no peace in the world. And Jesus said that very plainly. But the peace that we receive from our Heavenly Father, the peace of God, we have the peace of God, the same peace that God possesses. In other words, God is always peaceful. He's never upset. In other words, he's never perturbed, even with all the things that go on in the world today, the wars, the troubles, the pestilences, the problems of crime and so forth. our Heavenly Father is always peaceful, because He permitted this for a purpose. And He desires that our peace shall also be the same, that we possess the same peace, the peace of God. That is the peace our Lord Jesus had as He received from the Heavenly Father. And that's the peace Jesus said that I leave with you when He was leaving His disciples. I leave this peace with you, because the world cannot give you that peace. And this is the peace that you receive when you let your heart be given to God. So we need not be afraid. We need not fear. Let us remember this always, once we have given our hearts to our Heavenly Father, because we have that peace. It comes from the faith that we exercise in giving our hearts to God. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price." And that is a very assuring statement, that we are bought with a price. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And in verse 19, Paul says, "Ye are not your own." In other words, you don't belong to yourself anymore. "Ye are bought with a price, the blood of Christ. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which is God's." And furthermore, Paul says in verse 19, "Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, ye are members of the body of Christ, which is the little flock, the church. Jesus is the head of this body, which is the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ. It's wonderful to be members of this body of Christ. It's wonderful to have Jesus as the head of that body. And that gives us that assurance and peace at heart. In Psalms 139, verse 5, the prophet David prophesied about the virgin class when he said that God laid His hand upon me. Yes, He laid His hand upon you. You have nothing to fear. You need not fear any threat of distress or wars or what Satan of the world may do. You are members of the Christ family, and God has laid His hand upon you. He has laid His hand upon you. That's why St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, "We are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and men." A spectacle unto the world, unto angels and men. The margin says that the word spectacle in Greek means theater. In other words, we are as performers on the stage, a spectacle. And therefore, your reactions or your actions as a spectacle unto men and angels will be an evidence of being members of that body. And think how rich we become because God gave us that privilege and opportunity to gain glory, honor, and immortality, that He has selected you to be members of that body, to be with Him if you are faithful. And our Lord Jesus was the first one to be baptized with this baptism. And you recall what Jesus said in Mark the 10th chapter, verse 35 to 39. That's Mark the 10th chapter and verse 35 to 39. He said this, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto Him, saying, Master, we would that Thou wouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And He said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto Him, Grant us that we may sit, one on Thy right hand, and the other on Thy left hand, in Thy glory. And but Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto Him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with shall ye be baptized. You notice what he said? Are ye able? Are ye able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Or as the Moffat translation says, undergo the baptism I have to undergo. Undergo the baptism that I have to undergo. Are ye able? Yes, we are. Some may think that they are not good enough to take a stand for the truth. And this should not be the condition of heart that we have. It would not be pleasing to God to say that I'm not good enough. If the God of the universe was pleased to draw you unto Him, unto the Lord Jesus, that means you're good enough. He begins to open the eyes of your understanding. If you take the stand and accept Jesus as your personal Redeemer and give up your little all, which is your heart, to God, then you are good enough. Because you gave your heart to God. Because Jesus covers the imperfections, the blemishes, with the robe of His righteousness. Because there would be no one otherwise that would be good enough in the earth if it wasn't for that robe. There would be no one since Jesus. None of us were good enough when we're invited to the high calling. There's none righteous, no, not one. But we come under the robe. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men. But to those whom the Heavenly Father draws to be members of the body of Christ, He steps in and He covers us with His robe of righteousness. And that's a very wonderful provision. A very wonderful arrangement that the Heavenly Father has. And that's why we are able to meet all the requirements. And that's why Jesus said in verse 39, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, shall ye be baptized. Ye shall indeed. Jesus said these words before His crucifixion. He had been baptized at the River Jordan. And this baptism means to immerse our will into the will of God. And Jesus constantly immersed His will from the River Jordan onto the cross until He said, It is finished. It is finished. Now, what did He mean when He said, It is finished? He meant, My baptism is finished. Meaning that His will was immersed into the will of God, and that work had been completed. And that is what you and I have done. That it may continue until the very end, constantly immersing our will unto the will of God. He said, You shall drink of the cup that I drink of. Drink of that cup. It's a cup of joy commingled with sorrow. Because you and I have been called to this position, as Paul says in Romans 8:17, if children of God, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Yes, we suffer with Him. It does not mean that we have to suffer for Him. It says we suffer with Him. We fill up that behind the afflictions of Christ, as Paul says in Colossians 1:24. To suffer with Him on the altar of sacrifice, we lead a life of sacrifice. Our sacrifice may be small, but God counts each little sacrifice as important with Jesus. That's the plan of God. Those that suffer with Him shall also reign with Him. Those that suffer with him shall be glorified together. The important thing is, are you willing to walk? To walk in the steps of Jesus. You may be persecuted, but the suffering is all for righteousness. You suffer for righteousness, not for the aches and pains that are common to the human family. You suffer for righteousness because you let your light shine. And that was the sufferings of Christ. In Romans 12:1, Apostle Paul very plainly states to us, brethren, those who are on the way, and he said, our Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We are in that way. The way is pictured by the court in the tabernacle. The truth is pictured by the holy in the tabernacle. And life the most holy. So Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is a reasonable service. You'll never find anything in the Bible that is unreasonable. And this is why Paul says, this is your reasonable service. Everything you do and everything that God asks us to do is reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to prove what is the acceptable will of God. So some may despise you for that, because you've taken the stand, counted all joy. And we counted all joy. Always remember that we suffer with him, we shall be glorified together. Jesus said in Matthew 10:27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And therefore we become his servants. The servant is not above the master. And that's a large order. But it is made easy because Jesus is with us. As Brother Kramer brought to our attention, my yoke is light. Come unto me. He said, without me, you can't do anything. It is necessary that we always rely upon our Lord. Without the Lord, you can't do anything. And when you pray, you always pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. It is through our Lord Jesus, your Redeemer. In Luke 14:8, Jesus gave us a parable and said, when thou art bidden to a wedding, take not the highest room, but take the lowest room. Take the back seat, in other words, so that when he comes and bade thee, friend, go up higher, then thou shalt have worship. In other words, honor in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Be meek, in other words. Be humble. Be teachable. Be taught. And then the Lord will then gradually exalt you to a higher position, to glory, honor, and immortality. These are the lessons our Lord Jesus gave us. Our dear brother Russell said in the sixth volume on page 436 that this class has given up their will and taken the will of God. We've become beheaded. It's not our will anymore. It's not our mind. We've taken the will of God. The will represents the entire person. And the will has control of the body. It's the new mind. It controls the hands. It controls the feet. It controls our eyes. It controls our mouth, our tongue. It controls the brain, the new will, the new mind. It has the control of our means, of our pocket, our bank account, our estate. It controls our time. It controls our talents, our influence. This is the new will. And you have a great responsibility over your influence. Remember this. There's not a thing of value that we possess which does not properly come under the control of the will, the new mind. And hence, when we surrender our wills to the Lord, as Jesus did. When he came to the River Jordan, he said, "Father, I have come to do thy will." And that should be the condition of our hearts. "I have come to do thy will, as written in the volume of the book of me." And so, you and I did the same. "I have come to do thy will." He gave up our human will, and we've taken the will of God, as the scripture sometimes represents it as our hearts. We've given our hearts. We've given our hearts to God, as we read so beautifully in Psalms 145, verse 1, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever." We have that privilege. And the only way we can do that is by giving our hearts to God. We're members of the Christ family. We can bless God daily with that consecrated heart. That's the only thing that we possess that we can give to the Heavenly Father. Everything we have, we receive from Him. We can only give Him our heart. "Son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways," as recorded in Proverbs 23:26. So, in order to understand God's ways, we must give our heart to God. We must submit our wills to His will. "Give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." And what are those ways? They are the ways of righteousness, the ways of humility, the ways of meekness, the ways of holiness. Those are the ways that we are to observe. There's only one way, and that is to give your heart to God. And that is what He will accept. And when we gave our heart, we gave our all. We gave our everything that we have received from the Heavenly Father. We gave it all. And the Lord, in turn, makes us stewards over the things that we gave to the Heavenly Father. We have to account for that stewardship. We are going to be very careful how we are spent in the service before the Lord, because we have to account for that stewardship, because it all belongs to Him now, and we're using it as supervisors and managers of the things that we gave to our Heavenly Father. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 6, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" Baptized into His death. It doesn't say anything here of being baptized into water. It says baptized into His death. The water immersion is just a symbol of being immersed into His death and being lifted up into the resurrection of glory, honor, and immortality. It's a symbol. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." We have a new occupation now. The vocation that we are called into. It's an employment. It's a full-time employment. Our avocation becomes only our part-time employment. As Apostle Paul calls it, a tent-making. We have now entered into the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, but only the world has many different bodies, But God only recognizes one body, and we are baptized into that one body, baptized into Christ. The word Christ means anointed. And Jesus was first one to be anointed, and all members are equally anointed by having that, receiving a measure of that all the way down as it was poured upon the head. Therefore, there is one body, just one spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of kindness, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of the truth. Even as ye are called into one hope of your calling. You know when Jesus gave that parable about the penny, and he came to the end of the day, and the 11th hour virgin class also received the same wage. Some started early in the morning, others begin at the 11th hour. We're considered as the 11th hour virgin class. The penny was the same wage as those who received it, who bore the heat of the day. Some began to murmur and complain about it. They didn't like it. And Jesus gave them all a penny. What is that penny? The one hope. The same honor. The same glory. The same immortality. The same reward. In other words, each one throughout the gospel age receives the one penny. Important thing is that we do not murmur as 11th hour virgins at this end of the age. You are called into the one hope of your calling, as he says. There is one Lord, one faith. One faith. He doesn't tell us there are 200 and some faiths, as we know, many, many more probably. But there's one faith. This is the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. One faith, one baptism. And that is very important. We're not baptized into an organization. We cannot create another baptism and be put under the water and then go out and work under this organization. We are not baptized into a consecration of service only. We're baptized into his death. We cannot say that the door is now closed and therefore we're going to be baptized into a service, into an organization. There's only one baptism. There aren't two baptisms. There aren't three baptisms. One baptism. There's no such thing in the Bible as being baptized into anything else but to be baptized into his death. Consecration. We know that John's baptism, of course, was the remission of sins, but this was before our Master showed us the way. Since then, it's been the one baptism. And anyone who says there's something different has received strong delusions that come at the end of the age. And we are not to be deceived by it. There's no teaching of that kind that would be show that there's another baptism. We're all baptized into his death. One baptism that Jesus gave us an example. And Paul says in Colossians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ unto his death. And still, it's a little flock. And Jesus said, it would be a little flock. And we cannot change those words. Fear not, little flock, as he told us. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few be there that find it. Few. It's not going to be many. It's not going to be a big crowd. It's going to be few. And we're still at the end of the harvest age. It still goes on. It hasn't ended yet. We're still in it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And how grand and wonderful are these words to us today, as we still have that privilege and an opportunity. Because of time, we'll have to cut our discourse a little shorter. So now, if you will rise, we'd like to ask you a few questions. I'll speak here while by the mic, and then I'll come down. I feel confident that you have made Jesus your personal Redeemer, that you've heard the truth in a way the Lord has provided it, because it's beautiful to you when you begin to study it and read it and make it your own. And you came to that point because of the truth. You had made the Lord Jesus your personal Redeemer. Do you agree to that? You made the Lord your personal Redeemer? Then, of course, doing this, Jesus is your personal Savior. Jesus is your personal Redeemer. Have you given your heart to God? That means consecration to the Lord. That's wonderful. One more question. Is it your desire to symbolize that consecration that you made with the Heavenly Father? In other words, is it your desire to symbolize that consecration by water immersion before this congregation? Then we'll give you the right hand of fellowship. We'd like to give you this consecration card. I disclaim all right to myself from henceforth to my soul, my body, my time, my health, my reputation, my talents, or anything that belongs to me. I confess myself to be the property of my glorious Redeemer. I dedicate myself to Him to serve, love, and trust Him as my life and my salvation to my life's end. Signed, Benjamin H. Barton, May 19, 1895. The followers of Jesus should be careful, circumspect in the walk of life, not foolish, but wise, not squanderers of time, but redeeming the time, purchasing it back from worldly cares and pleasures to have the more to use in the Master's service, realizing that the days are evil, that all our energies are needful if we would fight the good fight, for the fight for the light as against darkness of sin. To do this will require that we study and understand the will of the Lord. Reprint 50:38. And the scripture I'd like to leave with you, 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He had done for you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. One verse of hymn number 14. Hymn number 14, one verse. Our dear, loving, kind Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. We bow our heads and hearts before thee in true humility. We thank thee for this true baptism, the baptism of our Savior, our Master, recognizing that we are baptized into his death, into the body of Christ. And now, Father, as we give the right hand of fellowship to these dear sisters, we pray that thy rich blessing be upon them as they now face the world. We pray, dear Father, that they may not be of the world, even as thou hast said, even though we live in it. That they may fight the good fight of faith, that they may put on the whole armor of thy provision, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the girdle of truth, the sandals of peace, and prayer, praying always. Teach them how to pray. Bless this convention also as we bow before thee to renew our consecration to thee, Father. And help us, dear Lord, to love one another, especially those who have given their hearts to thee today. Help us to be a blessing to them. And we pray thy blessing as we proceed to the immersion of their wills into thy will. Give them the courage, give them the strength, and above all, strengthen their faith, that they may continually rely upon this faith of thy word. May this faith be strong in thee and the power of thy might. And now bless us, dear Father, as we wait before thee and this congregation. For we ask this all in the precious name of our dear Redeemer, Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay.
Please, as we go to the site of the immersion, bring your hymn books with you and then bring them back. You're going to go out in the back as if you would be going to the lodge, to where the restaurant is and all, but you're going to enter through the door number 8, follow the brick-paved area to the pool, and you'll be by the first pool that you come to. Also, just a brief announcement. Sister Sherelle spoke with, I believe, Sister Marge, and the surgery is completed. It was not as severe as it was thought at first to be, but he'll still be in the hospital for a week or two. Okay, thank you, brethren.